racing to the first tee, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first tee.
Week number 5 of the 2020 calendar year is in the books. And what a surprising week on so many fronts. Hi, I'm Bob Bupka. Proud to be here with Jay Randolph Jr., also known as STL Golf Geek on Twitter. Thanks for joining us again in the Grill Room. Jay, kind of a crazy week last week.
Well, it always is. And to end with a playoff and have the type of players I think you had there, a lead up to the Super Bowl and everything that happens on the 16th hole. And it's a unique event. As I've told people before, it's something that I don't think people would enjoy nearly as much if it happened week in, week out on the PGA Tour. And I don't think it would work that way. They've created this whole environment out there. You've been there. Our executive producer, Janice, has been there. It's just, it's a unique event. And I'm actually kind of glad in a lot of ways that other events haven't tried to copy it because they know how hard it is to do. And in the end, after all the booze is sold and the, you know, the food and the sponsors and all that, a lot of money goes to charity. And that's a huge part of what they do out there.
Yeah, and they do it very, very well. I meant to ask you at the outset, obviously we had the great Super Bowl that just completed down in Miami. Let me ask you, is Patrick Mahomes the potential to pro football what Tiger was to golf?
Bob, he's amazing. When he made that play in the AFC Championship game for a quarterback, no quarterback, and you can talk about Mike Vick or whoever, he made that play when he scored the touchdown in the AFC Championship game, and I hadn't seen anything like that. He's got a huge opportunity, if he can stay healthy, to be clearly one of the all-time greats, and record-wise, the pace he set in the first 2 years. And you know what? He didn't even have that good a game. He struggled in the middle portion of the game and, you know, then was able to find it. He's a magical player and athlete.
And of course, I think you agree with me, Andy Reid, the coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, to have won over 200 games in the NFL, never to win a Super Bowl. It certainly, that victory was well deserved.
No question about it. One of the good guys at one time, he was actually an assistant coach at the University of Missouri before he got into the professional game. Congratulations to him. A long time coming, but I'm sure that it was a great taste of victory on Sunday night.
All right, let's get back to golf. I just wanted to reference that, a great Super Bowl, certainly enjoyed by many, including myself, who at the last minute had this sudden urge to call the proper people to get a little wager down, and it came through. It didn't look good for a while, but I had faith in certainly Kansas City. You know, let's talk a little bit about that 16th hole, a par 3 at the Waste Management. I mean, people line up 3 o'clock in the morning to be, you know, the gate opens at 6 in the morning, and then there's a mad dash to get your seat in the grandstands, and then they sit there 4 or 5 hours before they even see a golf shot. I mean, it's incredible to watch.
It's almost like a rock concert when people would line up and wait to try and purchase tickets or whatever. And they love it. It's not for everybody. Now, some of those lovely suites around there that Bob and I have seen on 16 or would be better maybe for our listeners. It's just a unique deal. They've created the hype. Bob, I bet I saw at least 20 people from St. Louis post on Facebook that they were at the Waste Management Open. It's also become a destination event. Some people go there and do their bachelor party. It's just a wild deal.
Yeah, it certainly was, and a wild deal during the golf tournament. Certainly looked like Tony Finau was in the driver's seat. Webb Simpson, with those late birdies, forces a playoff, and boy, Webb Simpson shined bright in the playoff.
Here's Webb talking about playoffs.
I think what I learned at RSM was I relaxed a little bit. I felt like regulation is over. I just kind of let my guard down instead of, you know, treating it as another hole, the 73rd hole, and continuing to stay very focused and very hungry to hit good shots. And I just tried to do that today. And thankfully, you know, same club off the tee, same second shot, almost the exact same number, and has a very similar putt. So I think getting frustrated after RSM led to, you know, being better prepared for today.
Well, he seemed to come up with a new formula. Hopefully it works for him. It's amazing every time somebody's successful at something, they blame it on the method, and then the next time it doesn't work, they come up with a new method. Let me ask you this, Jay. How did you handle? I know over the course of your career, you had to be involved in a couple of playoffs.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, I think that can also go for cash games that you got to go a little extra distance with. Webb's right. That's the theory. I mean, and you hear athletes talk about going to overtime. Well, it's just the same as when you start. Well, it isn't. It's right there on the line at that moment. And I think part of it is how you feel at that moment. Did you come off birdie in a couple of holes at the end like Webb, or did you kind of have to, you know, find your way to the hole? But he's right. If you can, you just want to take it as another hole.
Well, that's certainly, I would think, the right mental approach, but he's very strong mentally. And don't forget the caddy for Webb Simpson, Paul DeSori, that, you know, they're closer to being brothers than it is a caddy player relationship. Paul DeSori, long time with Vijay Singh. So he learned that it's not all peaches and cream when you're out there caddying, but with Simpson, they get along very well. So interesting about Tony Finau now. You know, he's only that one victory, but what an amazing background. I mean, you look at him, he's the father of four children. And then I think the most surprising thing, his father taught him how to play golf, which sounds pretty good because his father is kind of a natural coach. The only fly in the ointment, Mr. Randolph, his dad didn't know how to play golf, but he taught Tony how to play. I don't know if I've ever heard of another example like that.
No, I mean, essentially, in a way, somewhat self-taught. I mean, not to the extent of a Larry Nelson, you know, buying a book and going to the driving range and wanting to, you know, learn how to play golf. But you're right. It is amazing. And there's no question that if you take raw sheer talent, he's way up on the list. You know, you gotta do all the other things right too these days to win. And that's what, you know, Webb Simpson, he's playing the best golf of his career. He's playing better golf than when he won the United States Open. And he's been doing it. And he's one of those guys, Bob, as you know, that certain spots, certain golf courses are his fit. And this is the part of the schedule that kind of fits him well.
You know, I know one thing that was established in that playoff, and I'd be willing to go to the betting cage anywhere and plunk down a wager on this. Between Tony Finau and Webb Simpson, they're the father of 9 children, and 2 guys are in the playoff. I mean, just think about that. Webb Simpson with 5 children, Tony Finau with 4 children. I mean, it's amazing.
Well, they're making a lot of money. They can support those kids, but that and they're pretty young guys too.
I know. They better. I better send them a little booklet on.
Slow down.
No, well, how to watch TV. I mean, apparently those guys don't like TV too much. All right, let's keep moving here. We're running behind a little bit. Let's go across the pond to Morocco. A strange place. It's the first stroke play event ever held in Africa, I should say. And it was on the Champions Tour in Marrakesh, Morocco. And another unbelievable story. Brett Quigley, he plays in well over 400 events, actually 408 starts on the PGA Tour, comes away with no wins. Plays in his second tournament on the Champions Tour and comes away with a victory. What a nice story.
You know, Brett was my teammate at the University of South Carolina.
Wow.
And he never missed a putt, ever. We were freshmen together. He had come in as the U.S. Junior Amateur Champion. And I learned about the Quigley family. His dad, Paul, multiple state championships in Rhode Island, and obviously his uncle, Dana. Brett was a hard worker. He wasn't maybe the best ball striker, but he found a way to get it in the hole. This did not surprise me. I know it surprised a lot of people, but Brett had a lot of injuries, struggled, tried to do some TV, do some other things, but he's got the motivation and always did, Bob. While some of us might have been at the local pub, Brett was on the driving range, and watching him develop as a player kind of gave me the sense that I wasn't going to be a player. Congratulations to Quiggs.
Well, I can just tell by looking at the resumes, anytime anybody posed a question to you or to Brett, you kind of let Brett give the answer. He's a 2-time academic All-American at South Carolina, unless you're going to surprise me and tell me you were a 3-timer. I think Brett was better off with the questions.
I was a no-timer, I wasn't even a part-timer. I was a no-timer, and he was also a very good euchre player. And you got to be kind of smart to be a good euchre player. Congratulations. Really nice guy. And I'm really happy for Brett.
And the good guy wins continue when GMAC, playing in the Sesotho International, played on the edge of the Red Sea. I couldn't help but think back to 2006. It was the Ryder Cup. It was in Dublin. I had been asked to do TV coverage of the Ryder Cup. I show up on the set for the first day, and who's sitting alongside of me but none other than Graham McDowell. I said, good golly. And then I had so much fun in 2010 when he wins the U.S. Open, Jay, at Pebble Beach. And I said, Graham, this officially marks you as the greatest comeback in the history of golf. You went from sitting on a bench with me on TV to winning the United States Open. Graham McDowell, truly one of the good guys out there, Jay.
You know, I talked about Webb Simpson earlier winning a U.S. Open and then having a little bit of a lull and having that family and growing. Graham McDowell won the United States Open. he didn't lose his game, but he didn't have the success maybe that a lot of people thought he would. But he's really been resurgent, Bob. He's been knocking the last couple of years. Now, he hadn't won on the European Tour in almost 6 years. So this was big for him because he's been working at it. He wanted to show his kids that hard work pays off. And I expect that. I don't think this will stop here. That was a good field down there. They had a lot of show up dough in Saudi Arabia. That field was taken care of. That's GMAC's 11th. European Tour victory. Way to go.
Yeah, I'm going to hear from Graham in just a second, but I love what he tells his children when they ask him, Daddy, why do we live in such a nice house? He says, we live here, son, because Daddy can putt. Now let's hear from Graham McDowell.
I didn't realize it had been quite that long here in Europe. I'm very excited. I'm very relieved. This is a difficult golf course this week. You know, it's unusual to win feeling as uncomfortable as I did on a lot of these holes, you know, because it was a tough golf course these last 2 days, especially were tough conditions. The birdie on 14 and 15 were just huge at the time, and it was nice to have that little cushion coming down the last couple. But my big goal this year was to be back in the top 50 of the world, back competing in the big tournaments. I'm very excited that it's happened a little faster than I expected, but hopefully it's laying some foundations down for having a big year. I really feel like I'm moving in the right direction, and it's weeks like this that really give you that to give you that kick on effect, and hopefully I can use it.
Well, Graham McDowell accomplished his goal. He's back into the top 50 right now, and I just loved it, Jay. And I don't know if you got a chance to see it, but Shane Lowry, winner of the Open Championship at Royal Portrush last year, waited around to congratulate Graham as he walked off that 72nd hole. What a nice touch by Shane Lowry.
No doubt. Nice nod by the Open champion. And GMAC, one of the good guys. Good to see that. And you look at, I mentioned the quality of the field. Dustin Johnson, disappointing year last year. What? How's he going to answer in 2020? Well, he finishes second at the Saudi International. Phil, who missed a cut, I believe, at his event in the desert, went out and played good, finished third. And everybody's kind of keeping their eye on Brooks Koepka, trying to get himself back into form after the fall on the path in Japan. He finished tied for 17th, but Patrick Reed missed the cut. He's been playing a lot of golf, Patrick Reed.
Yeah, he really has. Probably maybe bordering on playing a little too much. He's trying to maintain cards both on that European Tour and the U.S. PGA Tour. But we got a few things on our news and notes list that we have to get after, but we'll do that right after a short break. We'll also take a look at the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am, where Phil Mickelson is the defending champion.
You're listening to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay, and we're heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, Stitcher, iTunes, Audio Boom, Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or you could just ask your smart speaker Alexa, and you'll be connected.
The Capilor Villas Maui is the official hotel partner of the Grill Room Golf Show during the Century Tournament of Champions, held each January at the Plantation Course. Yes, I know it's snowing in some parts of the U.S. Yes, I know it's cold and miserable. And yes, we thought you might like to hear from General Manager Bill Reese on the advantages of choosing Kapalua Villas Maui for your next vacation.
We've got the weather, we've got the beach, we've got the golf course, we've got the palm trees, we have properties facing the golf course, if that's your cup of tea, where you can actually watch the golfers on the fairway. We have properties in the ridge, which is high on the hill, so you can get a very panoramic ocean view of Molokai and the tropical environment. And also we have the bay villas, which are right down by the Onaloa Bay, which is oceanfront. Fully equipped kitchens in every condo, washer, dryer, and there is a refrigerator freezer so you can have that ice cream at midnight without having to go out. We've got the friendly people and the aloha. There's not much more you could ask for.
Welcome back to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. I'm Jay, STL Golf Geek on Twitter. You can find Bob on Twitter at Bob Bubka, V-O-G, and that V-O-G for the voice of golf. And, oh, boy, one of the great things I remember about the Pebble Beach is Bob's relationship with Mrs. Crosby. It is the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. Phil Mickelson is defending, and it's fascinating, Bob. Some of the guys that played in Saudi Arabia, they had to have some sort of situation because Dustin Johnson played there. Graham McDowell played there. I don't know if Hovland did, but a number of guys played in Saudi Arabia and then are in the field this week at the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. Always a fun week.
Oh, there's nothing any better than going to Pebble Beach. And you mentioned I did have a relationship with Bing Crosby's wife, Catherine. Matter of fact, one day chatting with her, and she had that velvet green fedora that Bing so famously wore on so many occasions. And I said, I'm going to ask you a crazy question, but would you mind if I put that hat on for a second? And she said, oh, no, put it on. I put it on. She said, why'd you want to do that? I said, I wanted to see if it was going to help me sing better, but it didn't work. But thank you for the honor and privilege. She was a real sweetheart, and you know very well, Bing just simply loved the sport of golf, and a pretty accomplished player.
Yeah, very really. He may have won the Bel Air Club Championship. And of course, Nathaniel, his son, that won the United States Amateur. Again, I said it during the whatever it's called, and I don't mean to slight a sponsor, but the tournament in Palm Springs should have Bob Hope's name attached to it, and this tournament should have Bing Crosby's name attached to it. I don't understand, but I guess it's for smarter people than I.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more on those two suggestions. A pretty good field, though, here at the Pebble Beach. We'll get a good look at Jason Day, Paul Casey. You already mentioned Dustin Johnson. G-Mac looking for two in a row. Patrick Cantlay, who I think is a real sleeper. Victor Hovland, all the talent in the world. Of course, going to be a big spotlight on Jordan Spieth, Jay. Jury's still out on Mr. Spieth.
Well, the deliberations are getting pretty lengthy because, you know, again, he's if you look, go look at Jordan's record. Just Google Jordan Spieth and look at his rounds. He cannot put four rounds together. He's still making mistakes. Now, he talked about how excited he was to come out at the start of the year. And again, I'm a fan. I know it may sound like I follow it because it's an interesting case study to me of a young guy that had such an unbelievable start that it's probably not easy to handle not being able to play the way or accomplish what he did. I mean, because once you start accomplishing that, whether you like it or not, you start to expect it a little bit. So I'll be curious to see how he does. Maybe this will be the week. It's coming, but, you know, it's taken a lot longer than I think a lot of people thought. And I'm glad our executive producer, Janice, put Max Homa's name on the notables because he's playing really good golf, Bob.
He's a great talent. I mean, there's so much great talent.
So much.
Yeah, so much great talent. And, you know, when we analyze Jordan Spieth and, you know, what he accomplished certainly was remarkable back in 2015. It looked like he was unbeatable. But, you know, now as he struggles to come back, it's always tougher to come back than get there the first time.
Sure.
You know, that's point number one. And to be perfectly candid, I think the fields are a little bit stronger than they were when he had his great run.
Oh, I think we're in a situation now, Bob, and it probably started a little bit before Jordan, or, you know, right around that 2014, 2013 area when these young kids started making the impact. I think each week it gets stronger. I mean, because these guys get better, and to a certain extent, a guy like Webb Simpson, the veterans get smarter. Well, I mean, it's a unique situation out there. I feel very fortunate to be able to watch golf right now with the depth of, and quality of talent. And I think we have to remind ourselves it's going to make it much more difficult for a dominant player, let alone somebody that would even approach a Tiger Woods type of situation.
No, you're right about that, Jay. And, you know, there are just so many good players. But the pride I feel now in getting to know these young guys and watching how they conduct themselves, not only on the golf course. I mean, they have amazing talent, and they got a great work ethic. But off the golf course, they all seem to be gentlemen. They're really doing the game proud.
Well, there's no doubt, and I think, you know, a lot of it's come with the money situation that they're playing for. I mean, you know, in the late 40s and 50s, before Arnold and Ike changed everything as it related to golf, I mean, these guys were vagabonds. And let's be honest, a lot of them grew up as caddies, and you know, there's a reason why they talk about caddies drinking. I mean, there were a lot of, you know, there were guys going to the bar, Arnold and Jack. I mean, it's all changed in terms of what a tournament week is like now for a PGA Tour player than what it has ever been before.
Yeah.
And nobody knows that better than you.
Well, the one thing that always amazed me, when Arnold Palmer started his career on the PGA Tour, he was not allowed to collect any money that he won for the first 6 months. He was on probation. I mean, that was just the rules and regulations of the PGA Tour at the time. I mean, when I think back to that, I say, good golly, guy's playing out there, he's paying his expenses to get to the tournament, and he can't collect any prize money. You know, one other note on Victor Hovland, he's eligible to play on the European Ryder Cup team, and he dearly wants to be at Whistling Straits later on this year for that Ryder Cup. So you're going to be seeing Victor try and earn points wherever he can. I got a kick out of speaking of Ryder Cup at Padraig Harrington after Graham McDowell's victory. Harrington said, "Well, maybe I better take a look at my potential vice captains." It looked like he was referring to the fact that he had Graham McDowell circled to be a vice captain. But now that he's playing so well, he very well could be on the team. Matter of fact, if they went right now, he's ranked number 8, and that would get him automatically on the team. And I know Graham McDowell would like one more shot at the Ryder Cup. It's going to be just a blast that, you know, when we get to Wisconsin and Herb Kohler's playground there, that's going to be a great Ryder Cup.
It'll be fantastic. And a guy like Graham McDowell with that type of style of golf course, with his background in Ireland, he'd be great. I think this is going to be a fan. Well, you know, we're starting to say it now for all the majors, and it's because the quality of play and players. I think this could be an epic Ryder Cup.
You're on the money with that one, Jay.
Let's take a short break, and when we return, we'll hear about some of the fantastic products Bob saw and found down on the floor at the PGA Merchandise Show in Orlando. You're listening to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay, and we're heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, Stitcher, iTunes, Audio Boom, Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or you could just ask your smart speaker Alexa, and you'll be connected.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Sight is one of our most valued senses. Many cherished memories and important life lessons are acquired through sight. Through the Transitions Healthy Sight for Life Fund, we're reaching out in communities around the world to help people understand and protect their healthy sight. Think about what you'd miss seeing if you lost your eyesight tomorrow, and take steps to protect your vision today. See more at healthysightforlife.org.
Welcome back to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. It was just a couple of weeks ago, Bob and our executive producer Janice were there at the big epic mecca for golf, the PGA Merchandise Show. We're going to learn more about some of the products. First, Bob had the chance to talk to Clay Hood from Precision Pro Golf, and their specialty, one of the most popular items in golf today, golf rangefinders.
Once again, thanks for catching up with us. We're at the 2020 PGA Merchandise Show, and more people are realizing the benefits of having a rangefinder. We came right to the expert. His name is Clay Hood. He's the co-founder, and I know you have a rangefinder. I want you to tell our audience why yours is better.
Sure, absolutely. Well, our rangefinders, the philosophy we have is that there are several different rangefinder companies, and, they all provide good distance. The product performs really well. It looks good, works well, kind of built our company around, is customer service and customer experience. So our customer experience is industry leading. We offer free battery replacements. So if your battery on your rangefinder runs out, we mail you a new one. We offer 90-day money back guarantee. We let you, basically try out our rangefinder and make sure you like it first. Our product is extremely easy to pick up the flag with. And if there's ever an issue, we're here. We answer the phone, we answer our emails, we take care of the product, and we stand behind it.
You know, one of the simple truths in playing the sport, if you know exactly how far you have to hit it, your chances of doing that escalate tremendously.
Absolutely. I think one of the cool things about just rangefinders in general, and one thing we kind of talk to our customers about and advise is, just how much easier it is to learn how far you hit your golf clubs. To be on the range, you can use it to shoot flags on the driving range. You can kind of get a sense of how far your shots on the range are going. It's so much easier to pick a club, find the right club for that shot.
One of your mainstays actually is swing with confidence, hit more greens. That is so true.
Oh, absolutely. I think, knowing how far you are away makes it just that much kind of easier to hit a good shot, and kind of gives you that kind of reassurance in the back of your mind. And I think hitting more greens is a, fantastic way to shoot better scores. It, the average golfer is probably not amazing with the short game, so if the more times they can get it on the green, the better they will be, and the more you know your distance, the easier it's going to be to do that.
Clay Hood, tell us where somebody that's interested can get more information on your rangefinder.
Sure, you can go to our website. It's precisionprogolf.com. We sell products on our website. We sell products on Amazon. We also sell products in retail. So we're in golf courses, off course shops, bigger sporting goods stores. So we're pretty much all over the place. But our website is precisionprogolf.com. You can find out all the info you want.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Good stuff right there from Clay Hood. One of the things they feature on their laser rangefinders is that some of the models actually attach to the side of the golf car magnetically. If you've seen those, theirs do that, so you don't have to look all around, where did I put my rangefinder? It's always there for you. It's pretty cool. Next up, a way for you to fix a pitch mark on the green that you may not know about. And this is something you need to do. It's great for the older golfer who might find it difficult to bend over and fix that pitch mark. Here's Bob with Pitch Fix spokesperson Chip Beck.
This gentleman alongside of me, a lot of them call him Mr. 59. I call him my friend, the one, the only Chip Beck. And Chip, some exciting new stuff with what you're representing here this week.
Yeah, Pitch Fix, is an innovative company out of Holland, of all places. And they have four new products this year. And one of the big ones is the Green Keeper Pro. And what it is, it's about four feet long in a device that fixes ball marks on the green. with just a one push and one pull. That's it. You push it into the green, and it pulls it up. It repairs ball marks quicker and more effectively than any tool on the market.
Isn't it amazing? People love the game of golf, and unfortunately, not enough want to be a steward and help take care of the putting surface.
Bob, the thing is, I play in Florida. If you looked at all the ball marks that are unrepaired, I think it's mostly because people can't bend over. And they can't see them, you know, because of the sunlight so bright in the middle of the day or in the morning when they're playing. So if you had it side of the green, you could just go over there and find your ball mark and fix it. And like when I play, I fix probably 10 each on each green. So it's a good device, and hopefully people will, you know, take advantage of it. And they're very inexpensive, I believe. You get two. You get one for hard greens, one for soft greens that are real wet. So they have different heads and different attachments. And so, you know, it's just a great company. They always have high-quality products. They're one of the most innovative companies in the world, and you can see why when you look at the quality of the way they do things. Just wonderful.
Well, they wouldn't have Chip Beck as a spokesperson if it wasn't a high-quality product. As always, good to see you, Chip. Stay well.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Great to hear from Mr. 59, Chip Beck. And lastly, Bob caught up with a well-known sports photographer, Paul Lester. He has covered golf tours and celebrities over the years, and now he has pulled all of his photographs together and come out with a magnificent book called Beyond the Fairway, Timeless Images from Legendary Golf Photographer Paul Lester. Here's two legends, Bob and Paul.
During my years on the professional tour, I had opportunities to meet a lot of photographers. I'm standing alongside one that I certainly regard as the best, and he's unique in one aspect. Photographers take pictures of professional golfers and celebrities, but very rarely are those professionals and celebrities friends of the photographer. Well, that's the way it is with Paul Lester. There's nobody any better in the business, and I'm excited because you got a new book coming out.
Oh,
I glanced through it, Paul, and just absolutely incredible.
Well, thank you so much, Bob. This is such an honor to be with you. You are the best. I get to see you everywhere over my years, and to be in front of the microphone with you now is amazing. Yeah, I have done this book now after 50 years of being in the business, and it has the pictures with a lot of my friends, a lot of LPGA players, PGA Tour players, but mostly celebrities, presidents, everybody that has something to do with golf. There's even a picture of Howard Cosell and Gene Autry. So why do I have Howard Cosell? Because Howard Cosell put on a golf tournament way before the Bob Hope in the old days. And most of the people in this book are from the icons of golf. And a lot of them are no longer with us, but they were my friends, same as your friends. And we tried to honor Jack and Arnie, Lee, Gary, Chi-Chi, you know, everybody that's in here. So been a lot of friends over all the years, and they've been nice to me. I think because my lucky part is I've been the photographer behind the scenes during the evening. So I try to take pictures of their families and give them those photos. So in the long run, it worked out.
One highlight of the book, as I read through it, is an unbelievable picture of Jack Nicklaus and Ben Hogan.
That's exactly right. That's how it started. I was doing the Centennial of Golf, which was in New York. And that, at that point, they named actually Jack the player of the century. And the thing that was so crazy about it was everybody was there, from Ben Hogan to Byron Nelson, Arnold, you know, Sam Snead. Everybody was there, and they ended up giving Jack the award. So the way that photo worked was Ben Hogan was there, and we were also nervous, or everybody else was real nervous about the fact that he was going to be on this TV show they did the night that night, and that if anybody goofed up and he left at all and said the wrong thing, then we were all upset and we were all nervous about Ben Hogan. I was lucky because my dad, Buddy Lester, who was an entertainer, knew him from the old days, so I kind of could break the ice a little bit by introducing myself like that. the same time, Jack was playing in the Pro-Am. So he's walking one way, Ben's the other, and they see each other, and they're like, oh, my gosh. So I was there. They talked a bit. They looked at me. I know they wanted the photo, and I hit it, and I took a nice photo. Like 25 years later, I ran across it, and I sent it to Barbara, and I thought, maybe they'll like it. And they wrote me back, and they said, this is the greatest thing ever, and Ben. You know, and they put it on the wall, and that's when I said, wow, I have a lot of photos like that. So that's kind of sort of how this book started. I started looking for pictures that no one had ever really seen that I had taken over the years.
How does one get this book, Beyond the Fairway?
Well, thank you so much. They have a couple of ways that they can go on Amazon, or we also have our own site, which is the Paul Lester Beyond the Fairway, Paul Lester site, and on there it'll tell you how you can order it as well.
It's well worth the money. I loved it. I'm going to enjoy it for a long time. Great people, great photographer, great friend. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you so much, Bob. I'm honored. Thank you so much.
Well, now you're up to date on what's going on around the world of golf. That's it for this week.
So on behalf of our executive producer, Janice Self, Jay Randolph Jr., and myself, Bob Bubka, big thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGRGolf. Of course, you can like us and follow us on Facebook and on Instagram at The Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in The Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.